Good day. Where are we being guided? Who have we been called to know? And what are we doing with the invitation? Who did Jesus point us toward at every instance? Who is our focus? Who is our security? The most revealing name of God is the one most notably given to us by Jesus, and that's the name of Father. Jesus was really the only one who could reveal that name, for he alone knew the Father. He said in John 6, verse 46, "No one has seen the Father at any time except he who came from him." God has many other names, all of them expressions of his character. But it was revealed by Jesus that the one name he wants us to hold at the forefront is the name of Father. In the Old Testament, God was revealed as a mighty king, ruling over, protecting, even fighting for his people. But the name of Father is only mentioned a handful of times, whereas in the New Testament, that particular name is used hundreds of times. And of course, in his sample prayer in Matthew 6, Jesus specifically said that we should address God as our Father. That's how he wants us to know him. And that's not just our as in you and me. It's our as in Jesus and us. We're tied together, part of the same family. And therefore, God is our Father. And when we go to him in prayer, it's with and through Jesus. With him, our high priest, we come before our Father. Do we truly realize all that that means? The majority of people in this world haven't a clue. If they think of God at all, they may think of God as a judge or a warrior or some form of dignitary, far off, unapproachable, perhaps unconcerned about their tiny lives, or expecting an impossible perfection from them. But of a God who is a Father, tender, loving, filled with compassion and understanding, who, like a father, will be on their side against the whole universe, of this they have no conception. What about us? Realize, of course, that I'm talking here about the highest ideals of what a father should be, because we know our human examples are flawed at best. And tragically, many people have never known anything even approaching a good example. But God, who personifies all goodness and all love, must be a good father, or not a father at all. To even begin to understand what type of father our God is, we need to group together all the best traits of the fathers or mothers that we've ever known or seen or can imagine, and then remind ourselves that this is just a faint image of what God, our Father in heaven, is really like. If people down through the centuries, and even in the Church of God, could have conceived of what this name, Father, really means, it would have been impossible for all the misrepresentations of his character and the doubts of his love and care, which have tortured and discouraged people throughout the ages, it would have been impossible for these errors to have crept in. It's inconceivable that a good father could forget, neglect, or be unfair toward his children. But when we doubt our Father's care, isn't that the accusation we're sending up? I may not be a parent. Well, I'm a parent up here, but I'm not a parent for a child. But I believe every parent here will agree with me on this. that the chief job and calling of a parent is to prepare their child to become a healthy, capable, independent adult, able to handle life on their own and be responsible for themselves. A good father protects and guides his children, and sometimes that means keeping them away from certain things in life. That denial can make life seem hard. And sometimes, like the parent bird pushing the young out of the nest so they can learn to fly on their own, sometimes the parent has to push that child into things that seem hard. But in the end, help the child prepare to succeed in life rather than be overcome by it. This is the duty of a parent, of a father. And that name of Father underlies each and every name of God. And that understanding can help us understand Him and better appreciate His handling of our lives, because we can't always see in our limited human minds the wisdom, the foresight, and the care of our Father in protecting us from worse evils right around the corner. According to Jesus Himself, the only way that we're supposed to think of God is as our Father. He declared the name of Father to us and revealed to us that the Father loves us just as He loved and loves Him. If we could just accept that much, could we ever have an anxious or fearful or doubtful or rebellious thought again? Jesus knew His Father and knew it was safe to trust Him completely. That's why everything He did or said was designed to point us toward the Father. He said in Matthew 10 and elsewhere, and I'm paraphrasing a little, your Heavenly Father, cares for the sparrows and the lilies, and therefore will care for you who are of much more value than sparrows. In Luke 12, verse 32, He said, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. No grudging, just His good pleasure. He wants to give you the kingdom more than you want to have it. We're told we're already of the household of God. And a principle is noted in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, which says, if any man fails to provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And since we are of our Father's household, this principle applies to God. And if He should fail to provide for us, His own words would convict Him. After all, He's bound by His own law. It expresses what He is. The Creator who has made human parents responsible toward their children is Himself equally responsible toward His children. John wrote in 1 John 3, verse 1, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That love is the love of a father for his children, a tender love that understands our weaknesses, our needs, our abilities, and our limitations, and cares for us accordingly. No wonder we're told to cast all our cares upon Him. In every case, we can look back over the paths our lives have followed, no matter how easy or hard, and see that our Father has been guiding our course, has made sure we haven't been defeated, has paved the way for us uncounted times, even while sometimes having to let us learn hard lessons along the way. He's always been there, and He always will be. We have nothing to fear with such a Father. We have every reason to hope, every reason to be confident. In the face of the worst events of our lives or in the world at large, because we have a perfect Father who cares for every one of us and never looks away, never fails us. We are being guided. He has a plan for our lives. He's prepared places in His family for each of us, and He's committed to preparing us for those places, whatever they may be. Even when we don't see the path, can't follow the logic, our Father is in complete control. And need I say it, He knows what He's doing. And we're in a lot of trouble if He doesn't. As in our former association, love that term, our former association, some people may wish to speculate forever about the nature of God, but that's why God tells us to become as little children. If we're to succeed in this calling, you want to know His nature? Look at the fruits of His Spirit. It's that simple. And when we think of Him, He tells us to think of Him as our Father. Also simple. Everything that's important for us to know about Him is wrapped up in that name, Father. Little children blindly trust their father. They believe what their father tells them. They don't think to doubt. And if they have a loving father, they don't have to doubt or fear. And neither do we. Because we have a perfect Father who loves us perfectly. We can grow to know our Father and need to do it while we still have time. The darkness is closing in on all sides, and it won't be long, perhaps no more than a handful of years, before the famine of the Word may begin, where we won't have the freedom to meet like this, to speak openly like this, to take our freedoms for granted, and still be carried away sometimes with the daily affairs of this life rather than building our one and only eternal wealth, our relationship with our Father that was given to us through Christ, which ironically enough is the only thing that will carry us through the times just ahead of us. Make no mistake, He's preparing us for those times, just as He's preparing us for eternity. He knows you intimately, and He knows how to care for you absolutely. We have that famous reminder in Romans 8, verse 28, which is translated just right in the NIV, that says, "We know that in all things God, our Father, works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Christ opened the door for us to know the Father. Our calling was given to confirm this. And as Paul said to the Greeks in Acts 17:27, He isn't far from any of us. He's given us an invitation to join Him. And He waits with His arms open for us to do just that.